And you know, I've gone through these pages so many times, but I saw something really new that we're going to see today, and it really changes the way the pages read. And I've read it before, and people will read it, and if you read it today, and you think of the fellowship in terms of the fellowship today, I think you'll miss the power of what they're talking when they talk about the fellowship. Now, we covered 151 and 152 last week, and we talked about the four horsemen and the terrible situation we're in when we come in, and then we talked about how there's a substitute for that. And I thought I'd start on 152, if that's okay. And we're only going to read a couple pages, because after these two pages, we talk about Bill meeting Bob, and I do a whole meeting on that, because that was the moment when God saved me and how he saved us. And so I think it's very special. We're going to read 152 and 153 today, and there's a lot in this. It says, starting the first paragraph, we've shown you how we got out from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum, like some righteous people I see? All right, so you're dying, right? You're dying of alcohol. You're crushed by a self-imposed crisis. But you say, well, fine, but will I be stupid, boring, and glum? You see how crazy alcoholics are? You're dying. But I want to know that it's going to be okay. And I don't want to be like some righteous people I see. And how do we know what that is? You see how it's a very powerful line when you think about it. I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? And so they're going to talk about, what do you substitute for alcohol? And it says, yes, there is a substitute. Now think about, what have you substituted for alcohol? It says it's vastly more than that. There is a substitute. So what did we substitute for alcohol? We substitute God, right? Alcohol was the solution for our spiritual illness. Remember, they named the disease after the solution. Alcoholism is not a disease about alcohol. It's a disease about people who are spiritually ill, right? And they can't live sober, and they seek a solution, and the solution was alcohol or drugs. It can be anything that you want to put in there. And so that was the solution, and we're going to substitute that with God. And we find God through the steps, right? And so they say it's a fellowship in AA. So they say the fellowship in AA is a substitute for alcohol. Now, if you're reading this today in 2018, you say, yeah, 90 meetings in 90 days, yeah, ooh-ha, and all that stuff. But they're not talking about the fellowship of AA today. They're talking about the fellowship of AA in 1939. Now, what was the fellowship in 1939? Let's turn to page 164. Because I saw it differently today. And if you look at these paragraphs from the fellowship in 1939, then you see how powerful it says at the bottom of, at the end of the book, this is the first 164 pages. Remember, this is a textbook, and this is how it ends. It says, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. We've talked about that. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows, steps 4 and 5. Clear away the wreckage of your past, 8 and 9. Give freely love what you find to join us, step 12. And here it is. I shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. They were in the fellowship of the Spirit. They were people who were seeking fellowship with God, and the fellowship was with people who were seeking God. Now, they didn't put Holy Spirit in here, but you might want to think about that if that's your religious inclination. Because remember, the people who wrote this book, and I'm not doing this to upset anybody, but they read the scriptures. That's how they believed. So we're in a fellowship of the Spirit. Now, that's a lot different than the fellowship we have today. And so it says, there you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Isn't that good? Anybody think that's a good idea? Well, good, because look at the way they write on a vision for you, and on the page before, it says, "What is drinking? It means release from care, boredom, and worry." So alcohol is what was my go-to when I was bored, like Tom said. I had care, which means responsibility, and worry, which was my whole life. And so that meant when I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, I seek the ease of alcohol, right? Now, we have a release from care and boredom and worry, and it's a fellowship of the Spirit. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lies ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. And a fellow is sharing a particular activity, quality, or condition. And so I got this, what is the solution? Everybody got this page? Now I thought maybe if we had Vallejo people here, they didn't send them. So they came last week, so I must have pissed them all off. But I am the most important thing in the world, right? It's all about me. Yeah. Good. There you go. I love Amy. By the way, I heard your talk was fantastic. I just wish we'd recorded it. So here's what is the solution, and they talk about. And this is from Joe and Charlie from one of their handouts. And this is the way AA was in the beginning. In the beginning, you had the fellowship. And the fellowship had the new member. Notice he's circled by the old members. Now, in the old days, they would get the new person. They'd bring them in. And remember, they had to do the third step before they could even go to the meetings. But as it grew, the new member would come in. They had the old members. And they would give hope, experience, and strength. You see that the old members would support through hope, their experience, and strength. And these were people who suffered the same problem. So you come in here, your life's an effing mess, and you feel hopeless and futile, and you encounter people who give you hope. So the old members were people who gave hope, and they gave an experience. They had the same situation. And they gave them strength that there was something that could be done about it, right? And then the new member was supposed to see from the old member, and he was supposed to believe that he could recover, right? He became willing to recover. He investigated, and he did the steps. He picked up the simple kit of tools. Remember page 25. We're left with a choice. We just pick up the kit of spiritual tools or else, right? And so they worked the steps. So they believed that the fellowship was people who surrounded the new member, people who had worked the steps and took people to the big book. And they had a spiritual awakening that changes us. They did the 12 steps, and then they had this personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. Then that is what they called an old member. We like to talk about how many years people are sober. Well, they could be sober 30 years and be in prison as a serial killer or something. You know, we say, come on down, we'll give you a coin, you know. But what they were talking about is emotional sobriety. People who had done the deal. People who had found a solution to a way of living. And so they became old members, and then they would take the new member through, and then the new member would become an old member. So this was the fellowship in 1939. It's a lot different than it is today. It's not that it's good or bad today, but it's different. And I'm not sure that isn't why the success rate is so low, but there's probably just because the success rate for alcoholism is very low. Now, I do believe if you come to meetings today and you really want to find God, you're going to find somebody, and they're going to tell you where to go and what book to read, and they're going to take you through it. So I do believe that the fellowship's changed. But if you still want to seek God, God will send you the right people in your life. But this is how it was in the old days. So it was a very different fellowship. They were very supportive. They knew each other very well. Their families were involved. And it says, thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. So they said, well, how is this to come about? Now, remember, they wrote this book. There were only 100 people sober. There were only three groups. So it says, you're going to meet these new friends. So this is a vision. This is what they envisioned. And look at tonight. We have, what, 35 or so people here. It says, you'll find new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. You see that today, don't you? You see it at the meetings. You see people come in. They're new, but they really don't want it. And you can't. You feel so bad. You want to help them. And if you live in a large place, there are hundreds. Well, they had no idea, did they, when they wrote this book that, 83 years later or something, I can't count, they'd have, 150 languages, 2.5 million people recovered in the world. They saved my life. They save anybody else's life?
Yes.
This book saved my life. I believe this is how God sent the message to me. It says, high and low, rich and poor, they are future fellows of AA. Now, like, I was a fellowship of the, I had several. American Society of Clinical Oncology. That means that I took the board certification, and I'd done 3 years of training after 4 years of medical school and 3 years of internal medicine. So I was old before I ever got a paycheck. You had to pass something and you had to achieve something to be a fellow. Now, when they wrote this book, I think what they were talking about is that you had worked the steps and you had had a spiritual awakening. And then you became part of this fellowship. And then you took other people in and they worked the steps and they became fellows. So there was a different meaning to being fellow in the fellowship. Does this make sense? And so it was a very powerful tie that bound these people together. And it says, and here's what they say. I didn't realize this. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties. I guess I remember I read it this morning. For you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. We've escaped disaster together. That's why the people, like a lot of people keep coming back. We see each other all the time. We have this common bond. We're trying to do this together. And remember page 17, which is the page that Joe and Charlie said everybody needs to know. Every newcomer needs to read page 17. Well, I'm not going to read it to you. I'll just tell you. It says we're all these different people from all different walks of life, and we're shipwrecked. We hit the iceberg, and we are shipwrecked and dying, like in Titanic. And so we have a common peril. We're shipwrecked and we're dying and the water's cold. And then people come and they put me in the lifeboat and we get to shore and we all sing Kumbaya and we hug each other, right? Now, if you remember in Titanic, after they did that, they all went their separate ways. But we don't go our separate ways because we have something that keeps us together. And it says, this is the cement that binds us. It says, this is the good news, the great news. They didn't want to call it good news. The great news for people. And it says, we have a tremendous fact. We've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, on which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. So you see, these are people who took brother and harmonious action together. So the fellowship was people who were taking action together, and they were seeking God and a spiritual growth together. And so this was the great news this book carries of those who suffer from alcoholism. See, to me, this is the great news of salvation for alcoholics. This is a way of salvation, working these steps. And so you see how that worked then? You see, it's a little bit different. So when you read this, if you put in terms of the fellowship they're talking about, you see how powerful it was. And this is what they wanted for everybody. It says, you will know what it means to give of yourself. And remember, the journey is the spiritual path we talked about. Rarely have we seen a person fail, followed our path, right? So they were in a spiritual path together. And then, of course, I always have a favorite line. All the lines in the book are my favorite. You figure that one out. I used to tell all the patients they're my favorite, and they still loved it. Page 100, it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. Anybody heard that one before? Powerful paragraph. It says, if you persist, remarkable things will happen. Are we walking day by day down the spiritual path together? And so think about that. Is that your goal? See, Tom was talking about trying to do better. What I want to do is walk down the path to God with God directing me each day and go down that path. And then, of course, we don't always go. We deviate, right? But then we get back on the path. So you see, that was the journey they were talking about. Then it says, then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. Isn't that true? So if you help somebody and you bring them into the fellowship and you help them find the solution, you saved their life. Now, you didn't do it yourself, but you gave them the path. You gave them the directions. You tell them what you did, remember, in working with others. They go through that. And so the more you give, the more you help people, the more they will discover life. And then it says you will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. And I believe that's in the big book in Matthew, right? And love thy neighbor as thyself. And I wrote, the more you love, the more you love yourself. Because you know why? Because I'm doing God's work. So it's not that I love myself, I feel good about myself, I have self-esteem. Now we all say we had low self-esteem when we come in here, but if you're working the steps and working with others, you have good self-esteem, you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Some people can talk about it because we have people in this room that are really working hard with others. And so I love myself by doing for others. Remember, we're going to serve God and others. We're getting out of ourselves. Does this make sense? It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? Now that's a question. How do people come in here and their lives are such a mess? It was for me. Anybody else in this room?
Yes.
It was bad. And the practical answer, that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Now, the people who are writing this book, is they're writing to the alcoholic, reading it in their basement, right? And they say, well, if you're reading the book, how can I rise out of my misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? And they say, well, these things have happened among us and can happen to you. So this book is a message of hope. Now, they're going to tell us in a few sentences what the book's really all about. And should you wish them above all else to be willing to use our experience? So my experience, remember, we not regret the past to shut the door on it, right? Our experience can save somebody's life. Now, it's our experience of what we did and how our lives have changed through working the steps and the power of God in our life. It says the age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. See, people may say, well, does this work? This isn't going to work for me. Well, they can't deny when they look around the room. And that's why I think birthdays are important. The people celebrate how they've been able to stay sober and be emotionally sober for so many years. So we're proving to the new person that this works. And the book is proving to the new person, because remember, the new person is reading this, there's no AA. They're in Chicago somewhere in the basement dying, and that's how they vision this book. This book was going to go out to the world, and people are going to read this, and they're going to do the steps, and then they're going to meet other alcoholics, and they're going to take it to them, and then they're going to spread. And so here was their hope, that when this chip of a book, I forgot to look up chip, somebody should look up, chip of a book is launched on the world tide of alcoholism. So they launched this book on the world tide of alcoholism. Look at it, listen to this line. Defeated drinkers will seize upon it. Seize upon it. Now you get somebody who comes in and they say they're crushed by self-imposed crisis, right? And their life's a mess and they'll do anything to get better. Anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. So you'll tell them, read doctor's opinion. And a week later, oh, I didn't have time. Has anybody ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
But you see, they wanted people to see. So this book was written for defeated drinkers. This book is not written for people who are kind of wishy-washy, because they knew if you were defeated, you weren't going to do any of this. Now remember, it says if you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it, well, the only reason people are willing to go to any length is because they've run out of options. And so if I ask somebody who's run out of options to read doctor's opinion, they're going to read it. And then you can tell who really wants this and who doesn't. And it reminds me of the sowing the seed. You throw it on rocky ground, it bounces off. Anybody throwing seed on rocky ground in AA? Yeah, you just can't make. And then some have the soil, they love it. They love it. They can't get enough of this. Greatest thing ever happened. Well, it sprouts real quickly and then it withers. But then there are people who have the fertile soil. And then if you throw it on them. Now, the one thing AA says is if the ground's rocky, keep trying, because you don't know when the soil will change. So we don't give up on anybody. But if you see people who don't want to do it, they're just not ready. Their soil isn't ready. And don't think it has anything to do with you. It doesn't. It's not a personal thing. Seize upon it to follow it. Now, here they changed the word. I have the original big book. that went to the printer. I should have brought it in tonight. I'll bring it in next week and pass it on. It was directions. Follow its directions. These were not suggestions, really. These are directions if you want to live. And so they want you to seize upon it, to follow it. And then here's what they saw. This is the vision. Many will rise to their feet and march on. They're going to read this book. They're going to follow the directions. They're going to rise and march on. And they're going to approach still other ones. Isn't this a great vision? And fellowships will spring up in each city and hamlet of these people who've seized the book, done the directions, found another alcoholic, taken them through the book, and they're going to have this group, this fellowship of the Spirit. That's what they envision. And I think that if you look at it this way, this was really a powerful few pages. They'll spring up in every city and hamlet, havens for those who must find a way out. Remember, this was the way out on which we all must agree. So this should be a haven for people who want the way out. And you remember, that's one of the reasons I started this study 10 years ago, was when my son died. I felt that if people went through the book, they would have a chance. They wouldn't have to die in their car at 3 in the morning. And so this is what God told me. He says, teach the book. And so through the years, you know, I've been doing this, and I've seen a lot of people get help. And so it makes me feel good, but it's not anything about me. It's about God. This is the words of God. We're giving God's message today. And so he's telling you, if you're new, seize this book. Follow its directions. Find somebody to read it with you and see what happens, right? Then it says, and so I wrote that it's a way out. It's a place for people who are a way out place. It's a place of salvation. It could be considered like a church, in a way, of fellow believers, people who've worked the steps and believe in the power of God in their lives, right? And so in this chapter, Working with Others, you gathered an idea of how we approach and aid others to health. Suppose now that through you, several families have adopted this way of life. So in the beginning, the families were all involved. Remember, the wife would go to the meetings before the husband, and she couldn't get the husband to go until they finally got them ready, and then they bring them to the meeting. You'll want to know more of how to proceed from that point. Perhaps the best way of treating you a glimpse of your future is to describe the growth of the fellowship among us. Now, I'm going to go through that next week. It's powerful stuff. How Bill and Bob met, how we're here today, and how they spread the message in the beginning. And then see how God made his move so we're here today. And God worked through simple people. He works today through people. So you can be the messenger of God to somebody. There's nobody in this room that can't read this book and do what's in it and then help somebody else do it. It's not that a complicated book. So I hope that was helpful. I got a lot out of it. It's a lot different than if I just read it and we talk about the fellowship and it's going to be great. We're going to have fun together and all that. But it's more than that. It's a very powerful the vision of how this thing was supposed to be. And so we'll open it up, and then come Saturday, it's going to be great. Thank you.
Thanks.